This is an iHeart podcast.
You know, your house smells. Don't get mad. My house smells too. I'm not indicting you. I'm sure you keep a clean home, but just time means you're going to acquire smells, whether those are cooking smells that get in your paint, your carpet. Maybe they're animal smells. Maybe you're a smoker or someone else was. Just living creates smells. I didn't realize that my home had a smell to it until I got my first Eden Pure Thunderstorm, the greatest air purifier I've ever owned in my life. This thing, I had it plugged in for 2 hours. I came back in the room and my air smelled so clean. I now own three of them. I'm not making that up. This thing has absolutely changed me on top of what it's done for my allergies. Go get one. Get two. Be like me and get three. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse. That gets you $10 off and free shipping. EdenPureDeals.com, promo code Jesse. Joe Biden signed, or has signed, still signing. He's got a lot of ink. Apparently, he's signed a record number of executive orders so far. Andrew Cuomo has a problem with the coronavirus stuff. That's weird. And some interpretive dance. All that's coming up right now on I'm Right. Democrats, Republicans, the left, the right, how do they operate? Why do they operate so differently? I'm going to show you something. Look at this really briefly here. This is Joe Biden. What's he doing here? He is basically commemorating this pen. He'll end up selling it to some big donor or putting it in a museum or something like that. And what's that pen mean? Why does that pen mean so much to Joe Biden once he's done using it on a piece of paper? Well, I'll tell you why it means so much to Joe Biden. It means he's set the record for executive orders. Now, we'll get to that in just a moment. But think about this. Think about this. Democrats, Republicans, how they use their rhetoric, how they use their power. Republicans, when they take power, they brag about all the things they don't do. Which, look, in general, when you want a small government that leaves you and I alone, it's a good thing, right? Democrats, not only do they use their power when they get there, they brag about using their power. They brag about using their power, but it's more than that. It's more than that. This is about much more than these horrible executive orders, and I'll get there in a second. We get caught up a lot, and I do this too. I make this mistake too. I know what you're saying. Jesse, you never make mistakes, but I do. I make this mistake too of pointing out leftist hypocrisy as if it's going to hurt their feelings or something like that. Do you remember what Joe Biden said about executive orders during the campaign? You remember? Here's what he said.
I got to get the votes. That's why, you know, the one thing that I have this strange notion, we are a democracy. Some of my Republican friends and some of my Democratic friends even occasionally say, well, if you can't get the votes by executive order, you're going to do something. Things you can't do by executive order unless you're a dictator. We're a democracy. We need consensus.
And today he sets the record. But that's not where I'm going with all this. Today he sets the record. After having said that, and you have Republicans all over the place, you know, pundits all over the place on the right, look at this big hypocrite. That's not what I'm doing. That's how little they care about you and I calling them hypocrites, about you and I showing what they do, showing what they say, and comparing and contrasting the two. I mean, look, I'm about to do it right now on the fracking thing when I get there in a second, but they don't care. I mean, you should still keep showing it. I'm going to keep showing it so people know, so people realize just how insidious these people are. But they don't care. And he doesn't care on a level that allows him to set the record for executive orders and then say, look, I'm a fancy new pen. You can buy this on eBay. $10,000 goes to Joe Biden for re-election. Thank you, everybody. That's how little they care. They'll be hypocrites and rub it in my face and laugh while they do it. That's how these people think. And the problem we run into all the time, I run into it too, is because people on the right think of themselves differently, they can't get in that mindset. We have to start getting in that mindset. We do. We do. Here's what Joe Biden said about fracking.
Let me be clear, and I know this always comes up. We're not going to ban fracking. We'll protect jobs and grow jobs, including through stronger standards like controls from methane leaks and union workers and willing to install the changes.
That's weird, because this headline's from today. Quote, Joe Biden to ban new fracking leases on federal land despite promises not to. And look, I could spend 20 minutes now on what a hypocrite he is doing one thing versus, and that's against what he was saying. Why bother? He doesn't care. The Democrat plan is say anything to gain power. And then once you gain power, here's really the big difference. Democrats use power. Republicans simply do not. I saw some fancy graph. Forgive me, I forget who put it up, but I saw some fancy graph about the number of executive orders of every president. And what really stuck out was, of course, Joe Biden's record number of executive orders. That's what stuck out to most people. What stuck out to me was how few the Republicans signed. I think George Bush and Donald Trump combined for one or two. Why? I don't like executive orders, but the time has come. We had better start using them. We'd better start using them for our cause to advance our football, or we're toast. We're absolutely toast. And it's time to get to this whole climate change thing with Joe Biden and John Kerry. And this is another area where we use hypocrisy a lot and we think it works, but it doesn't work. This is what Joe Biden had to say about climate change.
When we think of climate change, we think of it, this is a case where conscience and convenience cross paths, where dealing with this existential threat to the planet and increasing our economic growth and prosperity are one and the same. When I think of climate change, I think of, and the answers to it, I think of jobs.
Okay, so now they're just lying. Everybody knows that's not true. Everybody knows the technology to replace something like any fossil fuel, it's not there yet. I'm guessing one day it will be. Technology advances. It's simply not there yet. And that's if you think fossil fuel is damaging the environment, which I simply do not. But that's another story entirely. He knows that's a lie. And Senator Ron Johnson, who's actually been killing it lately, I guess the man's retiring, said, quote, killing Keystone for political special interests means losing 10,000 union jobs, U.S.-made steel, $10 million in green job training fund, and $500 million for indigenous suppliers slash jobs, all to kill a pipeline that would operate with 100% renewable power. And now we get to the real heart of the matter when it comes to their heart, when it comes to their mentality and why they do it. You see, Joe Biden, as you'll see today, was asked, what sacrifices are you asking America to make? And you see, he kind of just blows everybody off. John Kerry will be up later. He'll talk to you about that. But John Kerry had a very rare moment for John Kerry today. John Kerry had a moment of honesty. And you know what? People are outraged about this video clip. I appreciated it. As always, I appreciate when my enemy tells me exactly what he's thinking, what he thinks about me, what he thinks about himself, what he thinks about America. I find these moments to be extremely beneficial and clarifying. Here's what they all think about you.
With respect to those workers, no two people are more in this room are more concerned about it. And the president of the United States has expressed in every comment he has made about climate the need to grow the new jobs that pay better, that are cleaner. That, I mean, you know, you look at the consequences of black lung for a miner, for instance, and measure that against the fastest growing job in the United States before COVID was solar power technician. The same people can do those jobs. But the choice of doing the solar power one now is a better choice.
You could read between the lines. One, black lung? Is this 1908? Black lung? Setting that aside, You heard what he said. You can read between the lines. Look, we're killing your job. We're allowing you to choose the better job we just gave you because you have no choice anymore. What have I been telling you about America's communists? What have I been telling you? Time and time and time again. What is it? You know it by now. America's communists are no different than communists have always been. This is simply part of the playbook. Go work where you're told. And I could do this thing right now, and I actually considered it, to be honest with you. I considered pointing out John Kerry's private air travel, pointing out his Martha's Vineyard mansion, pointing out all these things, all these energy-sucking things that John Kerry does. But why would I do that? You don't need extra motivation to despise John Kerry, at least you shouldn't. And I could show that video to John Kerry of me pointing out his hypocrisy. He may act like he cared, but they know. They know. Communism's always for you. Oh, it's never for me. I'm one of the important ones, don't you understand? I'm one of the decision makers. I'm on the Central Committee. No, yeah, you have some breadlines now, and you have to work where you're told, and I understand your quality of life went down the toilet, but don't you understand this is more fair? And yeah, I'm eating steak, of course. I'm eating steak on a beach somewhere. It's great. But I should. I'm one of the decision makers. What it really comes down to is they're positive, absolutely positive, that they're better than you. They're better than me. That's how these people think. They feel as if they've been born, they've been put on this earth to rule others. Some people simply have that kind of arrogance ingrained in them. That's all the bad news. Here's the good news, and this is good news. It comes with an expiration date. People in power, throughout history, the history of mankind is this. People in power getting a little too uppity with it, starting to conduct themselves as if they'll always have it, and then being shocked when the people take it back. I realize I talk a lot about the future of America and how ugly I do think a lot of it's going to be, and it will be. It just will. That's where we are as a nation. However, just know, these people, maybe not him personally, maybe next generation, next generation, next generation, I don't know. These people will wake up one day, and they will look around, and they will wonder, how did I lose it? I had all the power. How did I lose the power? You can't continue to dump on this many people and do it on camera to their face and just simply walk away with all the political power. One day the people will take it back, hopefully sooner rather than later. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I'm right. Now, we have a great show for you tonight. We have a controversial congressional freshman on tonight trying to impeach Joe Biden already. There's a controversy around CNN's all over today. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about this new absurd coronavirus stuff. I've had about enough of Dr. Fauci and many other things. All that's coming soon. But first, cybercrime. I'm not trying to date myself here, but I grew up in the pre-internet era. The first time I even found what the internet was, it was off of some little disk. You remember the little disks? And you had to put it in the computer and went, I do my own sound effects for the show. And it made all those sounds. And eventually you got internet that would load a picture of your favorite football player in 10 hours. That's the era I grew up in. We're not in that era anymore. We're in an era now where people, that's their job, is theft, cyber theft. They eat, sleep, and breathe it. And they're all out there right now hunting for your home title, my home title. They just are, because it's the easiest cyber money out there. You see your home title. Yeah, oh yeah, it's don't get me wrong, it's protected, except they hack into everything. Anything connected to the internet can be hacked. It takes them less than 10 minutes to hack these home titles. It's just easy money. They forge your signature on it, find a lender who will give them a loan, and they're gone. And your only defense of it is Home Title Lock. Go to HomeTitleLock.com. That's HomeTitleLock.com. Use the promo code RADIO. That gets you 30 free days of protection. We'll be back. aren't you tired of coronavirus? And I was thinking about this today. Just bear with me a moment. We live in, you and I, we live in the most advanced country in the history of the world. Isn't that weird to think about? You're an American citizen. I'm an American citizen, with all due respect to our international viewers. We're Americans. In 2021, we have the most advanced country in history. It's wild, isn't it? The medicine, the technology, it's just wonderful. And think about this. I still can't quite get over this. When a pandemic broke out, you get this virus from China, starts killing people on our shores. The greatest minds, maybe, probably not. But the people who run the most technologically advanced country in the world, in the history of the world, they decided the solution to a pandemic was standing 6 feet away from somebody? Isn't that Twilight Zone stuff? And now, not only did they decide it, we've remade American society that way. I know you see it. You're looking down at your feet in the grocery store, making sure, am I standing on the footsteps that say I'm 6 feet away? As you're handing her the bag of chips that she takes under your plexiglass that's in front of you and then scans it and hands it right back to you? We just completely reordered American society off the dumbest thing I have ever heard in my entire life. And not only did they tell us to do it, we did it. Everybody just said, oh, well, I mean, he is a doctor. And we just all went along with it. I still can't get over it. I can't get over it. And now, because you know what I say about the system does not apologize, especially a corrupted, rotted out system like ours. A system only doubles down. It attacks its critics, and then it doubles down on everything that fails. Dr. Fauci, of course, Joe Biden steps into office. There's article after article about Joe Biden stepping into office and doing what Democrats do every time, which is what Republicans should do, and firing everybody. All of them. Gather them up in a room. You're all gone. We're going to fill this place up with my people. So Joe Biden is famous now for firing all these people. Who's the guy he kept? Fauci. Of course he kept Fauci. And we can't escape this person. We can't escape him. Here he is on Fox News.
Here in New York City, the positivity rates dropped below 1%. Almost 75% of hospital workers have received the vaccine. But yet the governor has not indicated that he's going to reopen restaurants for in-person dining. As you have acknowledged, this is incredible pain on small businesses, restaurateurs that can't operate their businesses inside when it's 20 degrees and snowing out. Do you see any reason why the New York governor shouldn't allow for in-person dining to reopen with those statistics?
You know, I have to tell you, I'm not going to be out here outguessing a governor who is on the ground in his or her own.
But those
own
are
state.
Statistics.
Yeah,
I mean,
no. We're not going to go there.
Wow. He's not going to go there. A guy who's had an opinion about everything for a year now on how you should live your life. Wow, well, I'm not going to go there. And this Cuomo guy, I'll tell you, you realize nobody's had a worse coronavirus response. The numbers are staggering for how bad New York has done under his direction. And here's what he had to say.
It is going to be a long 6 months, especially after what we've gone mm-hmm. through. That is the truth. This state, I'm very proud of what New Yorkers have done because they have rallied. We were ambushed like no other state, Nicole. And again, it was from federal incompetence. They thought the virus was in China. It had left China. It had gone to Europe. And it came here for 3 months before they ever knew. Incompetent government kills people. Incompetent government kills people. More people died than needed to die in COVID. That's the truth.
But his state has killed a lot of people, and he was in charge. Oh, well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because we're never going to get to truth. You know that the system lies, right? And they know they lie. Here's a quote. This is from the New York Post. Cuomo still refuses to disclose the total number of COVID-19 nursing home deaths, according to a watchdog. And remember, the system never steps up and says, we got that one wrong. Sorry, guys. Oh, our bad. We got that one wrong. Let's change direction. The system only knows how to double down. So speaking of double down, here's what this lady had to say on Shepard Smith.
So experts say you can double up with a tight weave fabric mask for added protection. Now, Virginia Tech researchers found that doubling up these cloth masks increases the efficacy from 50 to 75%. A three-layer mask could block up to 90% of the particles.
Are these people real? Are these people just step up and say, it didn't work. We hoped it would work. It didn't work. We're going to try something new. But no, they don't know how to do that. Well, you're only wearing one mask. You should be wearing two or three. That's what we get from these people. That's, boy, if I had to show one video of what the system is, that's the video I would show every single person. And we joke about it on the show because what else are we going to do but joke? But this father goes before a Virginia school board. I want you to look at this guy, and I want you to listen to this guy when he pours out his soul on these people. And you can tell. You can hear the frustration. And I talk to my friends. You know, I don't have a bunch of political, well, I have a bunch of political friends, but I don't hang out with political people. I live in the suburbs of Texas. And the anger and pain and frustration and from the parents, from the kids, that when they tell me the things their kids are going through for a virus that doesn't affect kids, it's astounding. It's astounding. I heard this guy go off and I stood up and cheered.
You're a bunch of cowards hiding behind our children as an excuse for keeping schools closed. You think you're some sort of martyrs because of the decisions you're making when the statistics do not lie that the vast majority of the population is not at risk from this virus. The garbage workers who pick up my freaking trash risk their lives every day more than anyone in this school system. Figure it out or get off the podium, because you know what? There are people like me and a line of other people out there who will gladly take your seat and figure it out. It's not a high bar. Raise the freaking bar.
You know what? I hope he runs. We'll get him on the show. I hope he runs. And I hope you run too. If you're mad, show me. Run these people out of their seats. They all deserve it. School boards especially. Go get them. All right. Still got a lot more. Hang on. Well, it's never going to get old on this show watching Joe Biden's press secretary get crushed in her own little conferences. But today I thought this was particularly interesting because they were talking about our next guest.
Does the White House have a comment on this social media profile that has emerged of Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene? And is there a response to whether any disciplinary action should be taken against her given everything that's come out?
We don't, and I'm not going to speak further about her, I think, in this briefing room.
Okay.
Well, joining me now, and I'm assuming she does have something to say, is freshman Congressman Marjorie Taylor Greene, who is doing exactly what we talk about all the time on this show, making sure she is despised in the Beltway, which means she's probably doing something good. So, Congressman, thank you so much for joining us. First of all, before we get to impeachment, outline the Facebook stuff. We saw CNN run something on you today. Of course, they go digging through your social media past. What are they saying? What'd you do? Are you sorry?
Well, you know, don't forget who these people are. This is the fake news media that has basically given an apology tour to violent riots all year long, where communist Antifa, Marxist BLM have rioted in the streets. They're the ones that committed insurrection on the American people, attacking Americans, attacking businesses, attacking police officers, federal buildings, tearing down monuments, and so much more, causing billions of damage and approximately 47 people dead throughout this year. But they're the ones that have called it peaceful protests. And then we've got every elected Democrat member of Congress practically all year long promoting these riots. And even Kamala Harris herself, the vice president, sharing the Minnesota Freedom Fund link to get people to donate money and bail these criminals and these domestic terrorists out of jail. But they want to attack me because they're not very happy with me as a Republican, a new Republican member of Congress that just won't be whipped into submission like everyone else. I'm not sorry for standing my ground. I'm not sorry for that. And I'm not a perfect person. And I've had a lot of people manage my page over the years. I never made the statements that they're putting out there, but apparently there's been some likes on some comments. So I don't promote violence, and I always try to condemn it as much as I can, but I'm not going to cow down because the left has decided to attack me, and they're freaking out over nothing compared to what they've done over the past year and the past few years. They're just attacking me with the same playbook that they used on President Trump, Justice Kavanaugh, and many others, and it just won't work.
Absolutely. Don't apologize ever to these horrible people. Now, articles of impeachment. I have been saying for months that Republicans should impeach Joe Biden on day one. You don't even really need a reason, even though I'm sure there are plenty. If we're going to allow the left to abuse our president with impeachment at some particle process, then two have to play at that game. That's the only way to get them to stop. But elaborate. You're the one who actually did it. Why did you do it?
Well, Jesse, exactly what you just said is how the American people feel. 75 million, as a matter of fact. And the support is overwhelming from people everywhere. I can't even believe how many people reach out to me and are saying thank you for standing up, thank you for fighting back, and thank you for being brave enough to introduce articles of impeachment on Joe Biden. Joe Biden is guilty of abusing power. This is the same thing that they impeached President Trump on the first round when it was one big, great big witch hunt. But he is actually guilty. He is even on record himself saying that he would withhold $1 billion just to get a certain prosecutor fired that was coming after his son, Hunter Biden, who was basically involved in a huge energy company scam with a foreign country over in Ukraine, Burisma. We all know the story. And then everyone's seen the famous interview a few months ago with Tony Bobulinski, where Tony B told it all about all of his business dealings with Hunter Biden, James Biden, and the big guy, Joe Biden. So this is a long history of corruption involving Joe Biden and his family. He's willing to sell out America through the vice presidency and now the presidency. This is dangerous to our entire country, and it does not matter if they have an R or a D in front of their name. I think he needs to be held accountable. He needs to be impeached, and we need to take the gloves off and treat the Democrats like they've been treating Republicans now for decades.
100%. Now, let's move on to what's coming soon. They're already talking about a new coronavirus relief bill. I believe this one's $1.9 trillion initially. It probably only goes up from there. This feels like it's never going to be ending, Congressman. It doesn't. It feels like they're going to always need a new bill. Otherwise, you want old people to die unless you sign on for this horrible bill and that horrible bill. When does this end?
It's not going to end. It's just like they told us that we have to wear masks all the time, and now they're telling us to wear two masks. Next thing you know, they're going to want us to wear three masks, and then you got to wear them over your eyes and over your ears and everything else until we're all walking around in bubble suits. They want to just put us on one big fat government paycheck and turn America into a socialist country, and we can't allow that to happen. You know, the greatest way to end this problem is to reopen America fully and completely. And, you know, I'm really fed up at the way this has truly affected our kids. Our kids have been the biggest victims of this entire coronavirus political scam that the Democrats have played on the American people just so they could win back the presidency and gain power all over the country. And they're willing to take our kids and hold them as a bargaining chip. You know, kids' depression is on the rise, suicide's on the rise, their lives have been ended, and they've been canceled. But Democrats are pursuing something even more dangerous, and it's cancel culture on every single level. It's not just on big tech censorship. They're going after our donors. They're going after our donors' customers. They're going after anybody that is proud to proclaim their conservative values or wear a Trump hat or a MAGA hat or even, you know, stand for the flag. They're going after us and attacking us and exposing us, and it's sick and disgusting. And so we have to hold them accountable, and it's not going to work by playing the same old good guy Republican playbook. It's time to stand up to these Democrats and treat them exactly how they need to be treated, and that is to stand up and fight back.
What happened to your great state of Georgia? I love Georgia. We used to vacation in Georgia when I was a kid. It's a wonderful state, and if you look at the electoral map, it's just shocking. There's just this big blue block there. And I mean, setting everything else aside with the election and whatnot, it is going more blue. And I'm watching it happen here in my state of Texas as well. How did it happen? Georgia? I mean, that's salt of the earth, people.
Yeah, it is. And I tell you what, it's shocking for us too. But let me tell you what, Georgia made a big stupid mistake about 10 years ago. And we started offering tax credits to Hollywood. Well, you know, they came to town and started filming their movies here and found out how much they love Georgia. Just like a bunch of liberal Democrats who fled California, or we should call it Commifornia, have come to Texas and find out they love Texas too. They move to our great red states and they find out they're wonderful places to live and raise their families because we vote Republican. But then they forget to leave their blue Democrat votes behind. And so, you know, we should give them all stay-at-home orders and tell them to stay out of our Republican state. And that's where it started for Georgia. But you know what happened in our election with our Senate runoff races? People stayed home because they were angry, and they were really angry at our Republican state leaders who did not listen to them when they were furious and begging them to fix our election problems in our state. And our Georgia state leaders did nothing. And so we had a lot of voters stay home, and they sent the message by sending our two Republican senators off to slaughter. And I think that's heartbreaking and it's terrible, but it's what happened. And so I've been telling Republicans everywhere saying, hey, listen, the GOP better get the message going into 2022. And that is, you better start listening to conservatives and start standing up and working for these conservative values, because people are just done.
Explain to me the worst thing about being a congressman so far.
Other than the attack on the Capitol and the impeachment, the 25th Amendment. Well, let's see. I think the worst thing about being in Congress is they don't know how to work for a living like regular Americans do. You know, we work hard every day. People pay their taxes. People show up. But the government doesn't work that way. Take, for example, the teachers' unions right now. They're all pitching a fit saying they don't want to go back to work. Well, you know what? They need to be fired. We need just to tell these teachers, go get a job somewhere else if you don't want to show up for work, because you receive a government paycheck. And that government paycheck comes from the taxpayers. And you're punishing our kids. Go back to work, reopen the schools, and do the job you signed up for. And if you don't like it, go get a job somewhere else. And government needs to be treated the same way. People in Congress, we should be there right now working for the American people and fixing these problems and solving the debt. And working hard to build a big, beautiful wall and stop sending all our money over to foreign countries. But they don't, it doesn't work that way. They figured out how to run a circus up there, and that's why I call it the House of Hypocrites.
I love it. Join us again, please. Marjorie Taylor Greene, thank you so much for joining us.
Okay, will do. Thank you, Jesse.
Good. That lady's awesome. We'll be back. Well, the big tech guys, I've often said, you know, in the end, only a couple people have power. Normally it's one guy, but one or two guys have power. And in my opinion, the big tech guys are the ones who are going to have it all when this whole thing is finally said and done. Hopefully not, but joining me now to talk about that and other things from Breitbart.com, Alim Bakari. He's an investigative journalist. He's also an author of an outstanding book you actually really should read. You don't hear me tell you that very often, called Deleted. It's about big tech. Alim, let's begin at the beginning today. There's a lot of talk about Reddit and stocks and GameStop. And I attempted to tell my parents what was happening, and immediately their eyes just glazed over, and I lost them. For idiots like me, explain today what happened.
Well, it's the little guy taking on Wall Street. You've got thousands of small retail investors who have congregated on Reddit, who are boosting up the price of GameStop, which is a stock that's been heavily shorted by a bunch of hedge funds. And the idea that Reddit has now gained viral momentum is to essentially take on these hedge funds that have been shorting the company. GameStop, you know, very nostalgic company for a lot of millennials. And Reddit is taking them on by boosting the stock price and holding on. Again, so they're betting against the hedge funds. And we've never really seen anything like this before, retail investors behaving in coordinated activity like this before, because there's been no way for retail, small-time retail investors to coordinate on this scale before the internet. So this kind of reminds me of Gamergate. It reminds me of like the 2016 online Trump movement. It's a bunch of small guys on the internet getting together and disrupting the establishment. Only this time, the target isn't politics, it's Wall Street.
Alan, explain to me why would the hedge funds short GameStop? Is there some personal vendetta there? Was that a business decision? What happened?
No, I think that probably was a business decision. They probably thought, well, you know, GameStop's a company that's had its day. It's on the way out. It's a brick and mortar company that sells physical copies of video games. Doesn't seem to have a future. But the retail investors disagree. They like GameStop, and they're holding on to their stock.
Okay, what concerns me is, because when I found out about all this and I found out the details of it today, I was excited like everyone else. It's nice to see the little guy punch back. Everybody cheers for an underdog. Immediately, though, I thought to myself, man, the big tech guys took out the president of the United States. Boy, is Reddit in some serious trouble.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's this whole thing has got Wall Street completely freaked out. It got the president of the NASDAQ came out today, just a few hours ago, saying they're going to monitor chatter on social media, and if it correlates with unusual activity in stock prices, they're going to shut trading of those stocks down. That's incredible. I mean, unusual activity and chatter. So essentially what they're saying is, well, you know, the institutional investors, the hedge funds, the big banks, they can talk amongst themselves and drive up stock prices, and that's not unusual. But when retail investors do the same thing, then we're going to shut trading down. So, the elites on Wall Street are in an absolute panic at this. They're going to try and clamp down any way they can. We'll see if they succeed or not. But, I mean, it's an interesting parallel. They spent the last 4 years trying to control political speech on the internet, trying to control news. Almost every conservative has felt that. But they forgot about the world of finance, and now the internet is disrupting that.
Alan, moving off of this particular topic now, I find the internet fascinating, and I honestly find it awesome because it does provide all these different outlets. I'm not one of these people who complains about everybody having a blog and a podcast and things like that. I think these things are awesome when we take away, you know, just one or two news sources from being the only place people can get news. However, I'm not naive. I know how these communists think. They're going to try to stop that. Can they stop that? What kind of power do people have over the internet in general? Because we don't think about it that way.
Well, it's kind of a scary situation for American users of the internet to be in at the moment, because you have the Biden administration in power, you have the Democrats in power and in Congress and the Senate, and they are deeply hostile to the idea, not just of free speech on the internet, but of free speech anywhere. So they're going to try and combine the power of the federal government with the corporate power of big tech to encourage even more censorship. And now you even have Democrats talking about Section 230 reform to be used as a means to pressure these companies to do more censorship. But I will say, all of this panic, and this is the story of the last 5 years as well, is kind of an attempt to put the genie back in the bottle. The internet totally disrupted the mainstream media, disrupted the established political order. We saw its effects in 2016. We're seeing its effect on Wall Street now. And, you know, it's kind of difficult. People will find routes around censorship. And, you know, they've tried to take down alternative social media platforms. They kicked Parler off the internet, a free speech alternative to Twitter. But another free speech alternative, Gab.com, is still online, because Gab.com has learned to build their own servers so that they can't be booted off by Amazon or one of these other third-party hosting providers. So I think the next 2 years we'll see more innovation like that.
Alan, you are an investigative journalist with Breitbart News, and a good one. I can't believe they haven't come for you guys yet. You guys put out stuff that no other person puts out. You find information other people don't find, and they hate that. They have to hate your guts.
I'm sure they do. And, you know, Breitbart's been targeted by these biased Facebook fact checkers on many an occasion. And, you know, the whole fact checking apparatus on Facebook is geared towards censoring conservative media and empowering actually the competitors of conservative media to fact check them and suppress their posts. Because, you know, many of these fact checkers, they're outlets like the Washington Post, like USA Today, outlets that directly compete with Breitbart and other conservative media. So they've come after us on Facebook, certainly. I think they want to come after us even more. They're always looking for opportunities to do it. So yeah, all conservative media, I think, is going to be targeted over the next few years, and we're going to have to fight this this new wave of censorship.
How do we fight it, Alan? I mean, honestly, I've been trying to calm my buddies in the conservative media world down as they've been blowing up my phone every day. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? How do we insulate ourselves against what we know is coming? They want you to shut up. They want me to shut up. How do we make sure they can't?
Well, I certainly think we got to start pressuring Republican governors to take action, because they're now the last line of defense for conservatives against overreach from both the federal government and, I think, big tech. And we're already seeing proposed legislation in Florida run by Republicans to rein in some of the tech giants, start imposing fines on them for unfair acts of censorship. We're seeing that happen on the international level as well. Poland is trying to bring in a court for the protection of free speech, where Polish citizens can go to appeal if their accounts have been terminated by big tech platforms just for posting speech that's legal in Poland. So we are seeing movement, and hopefully the whole Republican Party gets behind that. The question is, are the Republicans going to be able to win elections again with Silicon Valley's tech platforms completely rigged against them? That's, a big question that I explore in the book.
It is a big question, and I want to ask you what that looks like, because you were sadly a prophet last time. What does that look like going forward?
Well, the thing, I don't mean to be too pessimistic, but, Google and Facebook know absolutely everything about the people who use that platform, which is most people in the U.S. So it knows who the conservatives are, who the liberals are, who the undecided voters are, and it knows what issues they're interested in. They've already got the technology that sort of micro-targets people based on their interests, and they use it to sell ads. Why wouldn't they use it for political reasons as well, to back their favorite political candidate? There's no law, there's no regulation stopping them from doing so. So we really have to watch out for that in future elections. We need to develop ways of monitoring these companies. And I know Dr. Robert Epstein, the psychologist who specializes in search engines, has been working on technology in that area. We need a lot more of that. And we also need to start using alternative platforms, unfortunately. I'm the biggest critic of the whole build your own argument, but now is the time to start making accounts on gab.com, on Rumble, the video hosting alternative, on BitChute, and all of these alternative platforms.
Alan, explain to me how we can take on somebody who knows that much about us beyond just building our own platforms. When you say monitored, are we talking about a government agency? Because I think a lot of people want these people reined in, and a lot of people also don't trust the government, especially because the left controls it all. How do we merge those two worlds?
Well, conservatives need to, learn to stop this knee-jerk reaction to government power. The biggest failing of the Republicans was that they didn't use power to impose consequences on these tech companies when they had a chance. They should have drawn a line in the sand and say, no, it's unacceptable for unaccountable corporate elites to meddle in democratic politics to this extent. I mean, you look overseas, you're seeing governments from, Germany to France, the UK to Poland, very different governments run by very different political parties, all making the same move, essentially saying, we're going to regulate you if you try and interfere in our politics in the same way that you did in the US. Republicans need to get behind that on the state level and eventually the national level, hopefully when they start winning elections again.
Hopefully. Alan, appreciate you very much, my friend.
Thanks, Jesse.
Interpretive dance. Can it save us? Hang on. I know a lot of you are skeptical about some of these powers that be. You're skeptical about their motivations for doing things like stopping a pandemic and getting things back to normal. But every once in a while, it pays to gain some of that faith back. When I saw the Chicago Teachers Union getting together and coming up with this video to talk about the dangers teachers are going to with coronavirus, I thought to myself, man, this is the kind of stuff that can change the world.
Make it make sense. Safety. is essential. Keep our students and our teachers safe. We want to feel safe. Safe return or no return.
I just want to point out that China, you know, our rival China, they're leading the world in math and science scores. Meanwhile, that's what American kids are seeing in school. I'll see you tomorrow.
On the Jordan Harbinger Show, you'll hear amazing stories from people that have lived them, from spies to CEOs, even an undercover agent who infiltrated the Gambino crime family. You're about to hear a preview of the Jordan Harbinger Show with Jack Garcia, who did just that.
My career was 24 out of 26 years was solely dedicated working undercover. Now I walk in, I'm in the bar. Now there's a barmaid there, good-looking young lady. She's serving me a drink. Hey, what would you like? Usually my drink was give me a Kettle One martini, three olives, glass of water on the side. I finish the drink. The guys come in. I'm going to go in my pocket, take out the big wad of money. Bam, I give her $100. If you're with the mob, I say, hey, Jordan, you're on record with us. That means we protect you. Nobody could shake you down. We could shake you down, but you're on record with us.
For more on how Jack became so trusted in the highest levels of the Gambino organization, check out episode 392 of The Jordan Harbinger Show.
This is an iHeart podcast.